Good evening and welcome to the show.
URY News at 6 with Ben Basin.
The search continues for Megan Roberts.
For the last 4 or 5 days, there's been absolutely no contact with Megan, which is out of character for her.
I want to spread as much awareness as possible. It's really important in these early stages, as many people in York aware.
The York St John student disappeared after a night out last Wednesday. Police say they strongly believe she entered the River Ouse whilst heavily affected by alcohol. We'll have the very latest on the investigation tonight. Also on the programme, Vertigo is the latest student-run club night to be hit with students.
What we've tried to do and what we've succeeded in doing, looking at the ticket sales, is start something new, taking our own night, a Vambra night, giving it a theme, bringing it all under one banner and taking it off campus.
We'll be talking to the organisers about the changing nature of college events. And with USU elections getting ever closer, we're looking at the phenomenon of joke nominations and candidates later in the show. All that plus your latest sports news to come tonight. First though, your URY News headlines with Claire Thomas. Claire, thank you very much indeed. Welcome to URY News at 6 with me, Ben Basin. Police say that the possibility that missing York St John student Megan Roberts is safe and alive is increasingly remote. They're now focusing their investigation on the River Ouse and are now calling the possibility of Megan having entered the river as the strongest and most probable. The 20-year-old student from Wetherby disappeared after a night out on Wednesday. It wasn't until Monday that she was reported as missing by her mother, following her uni friends raising concerns as to her whereabouts. Police have been examining CCTV from last Wednesday night, which shows Megan with a group of friends heading from Pop World to McDonald's shortly after 2 in the morning. She's seen walking down the side of Lendal Bridge, following her group of friends past the Maltings pub. Here, affected by alcohol, she apparently bumps into cycle racks as she heads in the direction of the river. CCTV evidence shows the rest of the group running back up the same street without Megan. Earlier, I went down to the scene of the disappearance. So I'm here on the station side of Lendal Bridge in the city centre of York, which is where the police are centering their inquiries on the missing girl, Megan Roberts. Police say that she, with a group of friends, is picked up on CCTV, making their way from Pop World to McDonald's. The group was widely spread out and ran down the side of the Maltings pub towards the river before crossing Lendal Bridge. Megan Roberts is seen on CCTV bumping into the many bike racks that are here, but it's said by police that she's not seen running back up when her other friends do. Police are thinking now that this could be a tragic incident and she's somehow found her way into the river. And they say that, of course, they're not in a position to definitively confirm this at the current stage, but they say that the possibility that she's elsewhere and safe and well, given the passage of time, is increasingly remote, in their own words. Quite a heavy police presence here, 2 police vans outside the river where they think Megan may have got into trouble outside the Lendal Bridge in York. Well, police are still appealing for any information people might have about Megan's disappearance. Superintendent Phil Kane told me yesterday how people could do that.
It's vital that anybody that may have any information, no matter how small or insignificant they feel it is, to report that to North Yorkshire Police using the 101 line. What I would say is that, again, we're looking for any information that helps us to find the safe location and return of Megan.
Well, as we've already heard, since I talked to the superintendent, the police have become much more doubtful about whether the safe return of Megan is a realistic aim. They said in a statement that the possibility still exists that Megan is elsewhere safe and well, but realistically, given the passage of time, such a possibility is increasingly remote. As it looks increasingly likely that Megan may have ended up in the river, student safety on nights out is under the spotlight. Phil Kane gave me some advice for students when they're out in the city at night.
Keeping in mind your own safety as well, you know, make sure you have friends that are staying with you, know where you are at all times, and make sure that together you get yourselves home safely.
Well, earlier today, volunteers were out on the streets of York trying to raise awareness of Megan's disappearance for the charity Missing People. They've been stopping people in the city centre to show them her picture and have been putting posters up in shops. Martin Crosby is the local campaigns manager for the charity. I spoke to him a little earlier.
To mark the fact that Megan Roberts has been missing for a week, volunteers are helping us raise awareness of the appeal, speaking to local people about the fact that Megan is missing, and really getting the word out so that we can get posters and awareness out as far and wide as we can do.
So how many volunteers have you got down here today?
We have around 15 volunteers at the moment, and then another 15 volunteers are helping. So we're expecting between 30 and 40 people.
So why do you think these volunteers have decided to come down and help out the cause today?
Well, when somebody goes missing, it really affects, as well as obviously the profound and deep effect that it has on the family, a town as well and a region feels it's affected as well. And a lot of people have seen the fact that Megan's been missing and have been in touch and are keen to help and keen to look to get the word out. And as a charity, we're working with them to do that.
Are you optimistic that, you know, you're going to find enough people who are willing to sort of get the word out today and sort of spread the information as far and wide?
I mean, everyone we've spoken to in York has been very, very helpful. And as I say, a lot of people are really concerned about Megan's disappearance and are happy to help and keen to help however they can do.
Are you appealing to people to come forward for information from the police? Are you trying to find people, you know, that might have seen something on Wednesday night, for example?
Well, if anybody does have any information, what we would always say is either you can contact the charity anonymously and give a sighting, and the phone number is 116 000 to do that, or call the police directly on 101 and you can pass any information on whatsoever to the police.
Brilliant. So you're here all day today?
Well, yeah, we're here until 4 o'clock today, yes.
Well, some of the volunteers were students from York St John University, where Megan was studying, and others were just residents of York who wanted to help with the search for the missing student. Sarah is one of the volunteers.
We're approaching the general public and we're asking them if they have any information, or we're asking them for their email addresses so that we can send out our appeal posters for Megan and get as many people out there aware of what has happened.
So why did you decide to come down today to volunteer?
I volunteer today because I want to spread as much awareness as possible. I want people in the York City Centre to know that they might not have heard over Facebook or Twitter or news at the moment. So it's really important in these early stages to get as many people in York aware.
And what's the reaction been like so far? Have people been, you know, eager to spread the word?
Very eager, yes. We've had a lot of people putting down their emails and phone numbers just to spread as much awareness as possible. We've had a lot of positive reactions from shops who have volunteered to put their poster up, and it's been really good reception so far.
York St John have issued us the following statement after the day's developments.
The university has been informed by North Yorkshire Police that the strongest and most probable line of inquiry is that Megan Roberts has entered the River Ouse. Naturally, this is an extremely distressing development, and our thoughts remain with Megan's family and friends. The university will maintain its focus on providing support for its students and staff at this difficult time.
Well, URY News editor George Lane joins me in the studio now. Obviously a very sad story, George. Give us an idea of how this story, the time frame of this story developing.
Well, it first came about on Monday. It hit the local press. This was when the call was made, the alert was raised that Megan had been not seen for a number of days. Since then, it has attracted national media attention, which in these sort of instances is the best way to do that. To get the message around, we've been hearing already in the programme about how just getting her face around, getting the message out is the best form of publicity in order to get the best possible outcome from this. Since today, there has been developments. The police have mentioned, obviously, further developments. There has been touching on in the national papers, some of the national tabloids have picked up on some Twitter messages which were sent the previous week. The police seem to think this is unrelated and just happens to be by chance that there is a link between some issues of potential stalking before this. But that's been dismissed, and since then, really just hitting the national headlines has been the best course of action for finding Megan. She has been talked about all over Facebook. It's across all students' minds, whether they go to York College, whether they go to York St John, York University, but also beyond that. It really is hitting the national sort of trends. Students are thinking about it. They are trying to get the message around to try and find where Megan is.
Mm-hmm. So we should say probably if anybody out there has any information that they think could be relevant to the police about Megan's disappearance, it happens on Wednesday night and the early hours of Thursday morning. If you know anything that you think could be significant, however small, please do get in touch with the police. You can do that by ringing them on the number 101 and selecting option 1. And to keep up to date with this story, follow us on Twitter, we're at URY News, and on Facebook, we're facebook.com/URY News, and we'll keep you updated with, of course, with all of the developments if there are any more. You're listening to URY News at 6. It's just coming up to 12 minutes past 6. Now, something that's cropped up over the last year and gained popularity is the idea of student-run club nights. URY News editor George Lane has been looking into the success of these events, and our Vanbrugh College have created their very own exclusive event, Vertigo, which premieres tonight.
Club D has recently been confirmed to be taking place this year after a few years of poor ticket sales and depths. And last year, Vanbrugh JCRC ditched for failing volume after successive poor nights. But what is left of college events on campus? According to the fresh new vice chair Ents for Vanbrugh, Chris Morris, students' expectations of what they want for a college event has changed, and as a result, JCRCs must change in order to succeed with events. This evening, Vertigo, tipped to be Vanbrugh's biggest and best ever college run night, is taking place. But here is the twist. It's not taking place in V-Bar or Vanbrugh Dining Hall. No, a smoke machine and disco light hasn't been set up on campus. Instead, the already sold out event will be taking a staggering 500 students into York for the launch night. Without even having had the first event, Vertigo looks set to be a success and will most likely be repeated by the new JCRC committee for Vanbrugh. Early this week, I caught up with Chris to talk about the changing concept for college events. Since speaking to him, Vertigo has doubled its capacity and now has sold out the whole of Mansion.
On-campus events, I think there's a few reasons that they're kind of decreasing in popularity. I mean, in Vanbrugh's case, obviously, volume was the kind of staple club night on campus for a few years. And last year, the decision was made to cancel it by the previous JCRC. And the reason they did that was because no one was turning up to it. There was selling tickets at a pound, or a certain number of people would come, but I think student tastes have changed over the years. The Vanbrugh Dining Hall isn't built to be a club, and I think it was used as a club when there was no alternative. Now that there's so many nights in town, couple that with all the breaks events, the student-led events, you've got a very saturated market there. Students see that, and for the same price, they can get a much better night.
Vanbrugh is leading the way of having their own college event, but instead of doing it on campus, you're going off campus, and Vertigo has sprung up across the last few weeks. What was the decision and reason behind Vanbrugh's changing tactics when it comes to providing entertainment for their students?
The brand Vertigo and the idea was born. I noticed that there was a gap in the market there for students to go out and stay within that sort of college community and have that feel that they have with the on-campus club nights, but take it into town, because no one was really doing that yet. We're giving it a solid brand. We're bringing it all under one banner. We're making it a Vanbrugh night that goes off campus so that people can identify with it. They can buy into it, they can invest in it. If it goes well, they look ready, you know, they look forward to the next one. They want to know when the next Vertigo is, not when the next Vanbrugh does, you know, a club night in town at any given location. What we've tried to do and what we've succeeded in doing, looking at the ticket sales, is start something new, taking our own night, a Vanbrugh night, giving it a theme, bringing it all under one banner and taking it off campus.
It's currently on a Wednesday night. I'm sure you are fully aware that this clashes with a USU night at Salvation. Do you think it's going to be such a big event that it will really take away from the sporting sort of night of a Wednesday at Salvations? Or?
Sure, I mean, I think with what we've tried to put together here with Vertigo is a night for Vanbrugh students, whatever they do, whether they, you know, play trombone in a brass quartet, or if they do play for a uni sports team. We're not looking to take the business away, the core kind of audience away from that student. The student Wednesdays at Salvation put on in conjunction with USU, far from it. Those nights are aimed, we can tell from the title of the night, Student Sports and Society Wednesdays, that they're aimed at sports teams predominantly and other societies to come out and party in Salvation. Like I just said, we're aiming it at Vanbrugh students, whoever they are. If the Vanbrugh sports teams want to come down, I don't believe that they have a contract with Salvation that ties them into, you know, having to go there every Wednesday night. So they can come down, that'd be great. We'll have our own sports teams in there. So I don't think that that's going to impact greatly on USU's Wednesday night. You know, my personal opinion, I believe this opinion is reflected by a lot of students across colleges and in their JCRCs and in the wider university community, is that USU are in place to support student activities, whether that's financially through the contracts that they have with these student, with the nights that they do in town, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays and Sundays, or whether it's the activities that the students to put on. And I've spoken to Callum Taylor a couple of times, working closely with Yusu on this, and they've assured me that they don't find an issue with it as long as we tell them what's going on. You know, we keep in close contact with them so that we use their experience and their knowledge to make sure that nothing goes badly. Like I said, we're working with them to make sure that it's a success for everyone involved. Our JCRC welfare team will be present at the start of the evening, handing out streamlined phone numbers, making sure everyone knows the taxi that they need to call. They'll be making sure that everyone in the queue is, so we're making sure that everyone going into the club is in a fit state to do so. You know, more broadly, to kind of tell them that we not only care about giving them an event that they can enjoy, but giving them an event that they will be okay, you know, in terms of welfare.
Student-led events are not only associated with college events, as can be seen over the last year with nights like Gin and Juice, Milli Vanilli and Music Remedy all have cropped up. UOY News reporter Claire Thomas caught up with Katie Barrett, a co-founder of Music Remedy, to hear the reasons why normal students choose to put on events instead of just leaving it to colleges or USU.
So there have been four nights, and how have they all gone? Have they got bigger each time?
Yeah, well, the first one we did, we like got really good kind of feedback and stuff, and it went really well. And obviously, because it's for charity, we had, for the first two nights, it was all for charity, managed to raise quite a lot of money. So the first one went, yeah, really well. Second one was really good, because it was kind of at the end of exams, like after it was in June, everyone had finished. That went really, really well. Third one didn't go as well. I think it was kind of the timing. We chose a wrong date and didn't get as much as we'd hoped for, kind of. But the one that we just did was a real success. We've had a lot of really good feedback from people. And it's kind of, it's just growing even bigger. And the fact that we've got the YouTube and SoundCloud now just kind of expands it past York, and we're getting loads of interest from like even like the United States, and like having people send us music from like pretty much all around the world, which is kind of so overwhelming.
That's incredible. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's quite good, but it's a lot of work.
That's so exciting. I'm sure it is. And what's your next step? Are you hoping to continue in York and then maybe expand into other university areas?
It's not something we've massively discussed. I mean, now it's only two of us. Unfortunately, one of the girls, she left last year and decided not to carry on with us. I'm the only one at the university that runs it, and another girl's at home. It's not something we've massively discussed, but it's something that we absolutely love doing. I've always kind of wanted to like go into events, and so has she, really. So we've planned for another night in June. That will be our next night. Fortunately, we can't do one before them, which is a shame because Penny's going travelling.
So lucky. Yeah.
So our next one is for June. We haven't actually talked about whether we will keep it in York, but we definitely want to take it to London and hopefully start something there. But it's literally, we literally just do everything, just like see how it goes, and then if it goes well, then we carry on. And
it's a nice way to do it, especially if you're doing it because it's something you love rather than something you feel obliged to do.
Yeah,
so we'll just have to see where it goes and how relationships between you and all the different events turn out.
So it looks as if college events and student-led nights are evolving and constantly changing. JCRCs like Vanborough are needing to come up with new, innovative and interesting ways to keep the ever-expectant college member happy. Nights like Vertigo and Music Remedy will be repeated, and as the brands get bigger and better, who knows, it could even be giving the USU nights and commercial club nights a run for their money. Back to you, Ben.
George Lane reporting there. It's the UOI News at 6 with me, Ben Basin, 20 minutes past 6. Now, don't forget, if you want to contact the show, you can on our website, uoy.org.uk. Now, with USU election nominations being entered as we speak, and the full list of candidates to be published on Monday, week 6, Claire Thomas has been investigating the phenomenon of joke candidates. There are always some every year, in preparation for what will be a very varied set of campaigns. Claire.
Thank you, Ben. With nominations open now and many capable, ambitious and serious candidates stepping up to the challenge of running for positions in next year's student union, the presence of other less politically minded individuals cannot be ignored. With previous USU president Tom Scott having run as a pirate alter ego, and rumours at the campus horse and even more ominous Tom Armstrong Clark having a go at presidency, I spoke to Callum Taylor about the issue of joke candidates.
So Callum, thank you so much for joining me today, really kind of you. Just to start us off, I don't know if you've heard, but Poon Bear and the campus horse have both been nominated this year to be running for positions on USU next year. Have you heard of anyone else? Do you know if there are any other joke candidates?
I've actually heard of one or two others. There's always this kind of chat going on at this time of year, Yet to catch the wave of excitement regarding Pumbaa though, or the Canvas Horse, so I look forward to riding that wave come the time.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be interviewing the horse later, so make sure you tune in and we'll see how that goes. I know that in the past, this phenomenon has actually resulted in people getting positions, such as Mad Captain Tom Scott, who ran a couple of years ago for president. Mm. So with regards to actually succeeding sometimes, what do you think of the phenomenon? Is it harmless fun having someone run as a joke, or is it actually a nuisance and something that can result in unsuitable candidates getting positions?
I think it depends on the student union in question. A lot of SUs in this country, the student movement is practically dead. A lot of SABs do very little, and I see fewer and fewer SABs every year willing to speak up and speak their mind. So you could say that there is almost a serious side to where people run as a joke candidate to just highlight just how much of a farce some elections are. But on some campuses, it really can matter, and some unions are in a good place. Like, I do think here that the union is listened to most of the time. We do have a presence when it comes to the big issues. So there is, you know, there's that kind of element where it's making a serious point, but it's not always fitting or appropriate for the campus in question. But I do think there is an overriding aspect where it makes the election a little bit more fun. I mean, even general elections have joke candidates, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think it's great fun, I think it's quite refreshing, and if it gets more people interested, then it can't be a bad thing.
Absolutely, yes. And do they manage to campaign fully? So once they've nominated themselves, or they've been nominated as a joke candidate, are they allowed to partake in all of the debates that go on and poster around campus?
Absolutely. If they've got their nomination form in on time, and then there's nothing stopping them from campaigning whoever they want, really.
Fantastic. Let's hope that their campaigns are as exciting as themselves as candidates. And what if someone won who was unsuitable for the role? Hopefully, student body would have some sense and decide not to elect the Campus Horse. But if Campus Horse were to be the next UCU president, are there steps that can be taken?
Well, I'd have to inquire about the Campus Horse, that its membership of the Students' Union. I'd have to look into that. But if it was found to be a member and it was elected, then they'd have to be a vote of no confidence to follow if students did want to remove, because if you voted someone in or some animal in, then you know, you get what you deserve, you get what you've asked for.
So with that kind of that final step in place, it actually doesn't seem like a bad thing if it gets people more involved, and we can intervene if need be to make sure that the student union is still an efficient and actually functioning and probably a human body as well would help. It seems like a good thing then that we can have joke candidates.
Yeah, I mean, I'd always have faith in a university like the University of York to pick a serious candidate, because it is a serious thing if you make the most of the role anyway. You know, the fees regime has changed, the university is changing a lot right now. It's a really important time to be involved in the Students' Union. It's almost like a massive window has opened up that we can go through and change. You know, the new Vice Chancellor's here now. There's a real sense of, you know, possibility in the air again here, unlike what was like the case perhaps 3 or 4 years ago when the old VC was, you know, in full swing with his own agenda and
yes.
Plans. So I'd have faith in York students to pick a serious candidate, but, you know, everyone's welcome to have a crack at it however they want, and students are more entitled to vote however they want. I just hope it's a fun and positive race throughout, really.
Yeah, it's true. It should be really exciting, and it's been a colossally exciting time to be at the University of York at the moment, so it's all just going forwards and in the right direction. Going back to yourself, are you looking forward to elections this year? It's, I imagine, going to be a lot more enjoyable now that you're not running and the pressure's off.
You know what? Yeah, I'm really looking forward to not running. The last two elections just took it out of me, like, so much. I love the job. I absolutely love the job. I've given everything. Stupidly long days and nights sometimes. And I've still got more things to do. I'm not done with it yet. But at the same time, I can't wait to pass it on to someone.
Yes.
Whoever the successor will be. And as I say, it's a great time to be involved in the Students' Union. So, you know, good luck to everyone running. But I'm looking forward to just sitting back and let it all kick off in front of me.
I'm sure you are. And you've left, I think, a really brilliant legacy. So nice to retire with such a positive spin behind you.
That's really sweet.
I think, yeah, there's some really great things implemented. And finally, out of interest, who would you back, Pumbaa or Campus Horse?
I think the Campus Horse is very much a local institution that is held in high regard, both for people living in the area and those who have lived in York in the past, not just at the university. So I'd have to pick the Campus Horse over Pumbaa any day of the week.
It's certainly getting my vote, and I'm very much looking forward to meeting him later. Thank you so much for speaking to me today, Callum. I know you're incredibly busy. That's very kind of you.
Oh.
Have a lovely afternoon. Thanks.
Thank you.
Are you wearing 2 scarves?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
He was actually wearing two scarves, so I thought I had to keep that bit in. In the useful elections of March 2008, 23-year-old Tom Scott, who had run as Mad Captain Tom, complete with eye patch, hat and a duckling on his shoulder, actually secured the role of president, saying he had run entirely as a joke and never expected to get it. So my next source of information on the matter was the Campus Horse itself, rumoured to be nominated for the role of president this year.
So, Campus Horse, can you please confirm or deny the rumours about you running for UC president this year? No, nothing? OK, you're being coy about your campaign. Well, the electoral process, what do you think? Your main competition, have you got any rivals this year? OK, well, I do understand that at this point you may want to keep your cards close to your chest, but I was hoping for some more information. No? God, who am I kidding? This is ridiculous. I'm feeding an electoral candidate carrots. Ben, back to you in the studio. I don't think the Campus Horse is going to talk today.
So we'll have to see what comes of the Horse's campaign and those of the other less serious candidates when nominations are announced on the 10th of February, although speculation will reach fever pitch when candidates attend their electoral boot camp on the 5th. Regardless, their presence certainly does increase enthusiasm for and interest in useful elections and keeps things from getting too dry. Back to you, Ben.
Thank you very much, Claire. I think that's possibly the first time on the UI news that we've ever had an interview with a horse.
I'm pleased to be the one to have brought that in.
That's a first. Thank you very much, Claire. Listen to UI news. It's 27 minutes past 6. Now it's time for all your latest sports news with Mitch Holder-Mansfield.
Thanks, Ben. Following the success of the previous week's college rowing competition, it was a chance for York swimmers to make a splash in the college sports standings on Sunday evening as they went to battle in the college swimming tournament at the York Sport Village. All eight colleges were represented at the event, which saw both men and women compete in 11 different disciplines. I was there to watch the action unfold.
Night swimming deserves a quiet night.
I'm here at the York College Sports Swimming Competition, where for the second consecutive Sunday, York's colleges have really come out in force to determine just who is York's premier sporting college. As you could probably hear, despite the cold wind and the rain, dozens of supporters have made their way to the York Sport Village tonight to cheer on their swimmers.
Still it's so much clearer. I forgot my shirt at the water's end.
I'm Dylan Chambers, I'm swimming for Alpine College.
I'm Jacob Burge, I'm also swimming for Alcorn.
How did you get on?
So I've done two races so far, the relay, which I think we were doing well until I got into the water, and then I did the 25 breaststroke and didn't come last, so overall I think it's been quite successful for me.
Well, I've done the 100 metre freestyle and the 50 metre fly, and I came dead last in both.
Okay, well, I was going to ask, are either of you regular swimmers, but I'm guessing from your responses there...
Yeah, no, I swim about three times a day, Jacob. I am a newbie when it comes to swimming. I took swimming lessons when I was really young, but I sort of haven't continued it since I came to university.
I think the 100-metre freestyle is probably the furthest I've ever swum, so I'm not a swimmer.
Who's going to win? Goodrick.
Alcorn.
Night swimming deserves a quiet night.
If the outfits are anything to go by, it looks as though we have a mixture of ability and experience here. Some swimmers wearing speedos, goggles, even caps. Others, I think, wearing their boxers. But that's what college sport is all about. After a tense final relay, the final results.
Swimming
I'm joined now poolside by Dave Washington, York College Sport Officer. Dave, how did tonight go?
Brilliant. It was fantastic again, like rowing, to see so many people down here enjoying themselves, representing their college and having a good time.
You were really impressed again with the turnout?
Yeah, as I said last week, one of the main things about these events is the turnout. If we don't get people down here, they're not going to work. Today we did. It was brilliant to see all colleges being represented. Yeah, thumbs up to everyone involved.
Saw a few nasty belly flops along the way, but also some really impressive swimming.
Well, I think today's show how high the standard of college sport is, and a lot of times you couldn't tell the difference between the university swimmers and those who are the college swimmers. So that, but I know swimming's not a sport in college varsity, but surely that bodes well for our task against Durham in the next few weeks.
And also, of course, part of college sport is about the inclusivity. So are you pleased to see even those perhaps not regular swimmers coming here and giving it a go?
Most certainly. If it's, as I say, college sport is all about getting people involved, and tonight we've done that. Half the people down here probably haven't swum for 6 months and may not swim again for another 6 months, so it's great to just get them involved, representing their college and having a smile on their faces.
That was York College Sport Officer Dave Washington talking to me there. As you heard, it was, perhaps unsurprisingly, Heslington East Goodrick who came out on top by a slender 13-point margin, with campus neighbours Langwith finishing in third, a further 38 points adrift of college rowing champions Derwent. But, if you can forgive the cliché, it was once again the taking part that counted in the success of the event, as York Sport continues to benefit from access to an on-site swimming pool. If you want to get involved with college sport at York, follow the link on our new Facebook page, www.facebook.com/URYsports, where you can now find the timetable for the upcoming college varsity qualifiers. Lots more on that in the coming weeks. Sticking with the campus sports news now, as the latest buck results continue to come through, and it looks as though it's been another strong day for York. In netball, the ladies' thirds fought to a 33-all draw with Leeds Trinity to stay undefeated. In hockey, the men's second swept aside Leeds 6-1 to maintain the momentum in their promotion push, and it was a much-deserved maiden victory for the ladies first, who edged a 1-0 win away to Sheffield Harlem. For more sports news, discussion and debate from the university and beyond, be sure to follow us on Twitter at URY Sports and to tune in to next Friday's Sports Hour at 6 p.m. on URY, where we'll be looking ahead to the York-Durham Varsity and the Soshi Winter Games. If you missed last week's Sports Hour, you can now podcast the show on the URY player or by following the link on our Facebook page. For now, back to you, Ben.
Mitch, thank you very much indeed. Mitch Holder-Mansfield with all your latest sports news there. Well, that's about it for the URY news at 6 tonight. A reminder of our top story tonight first, though. Police say that the possibility that missing York St John's student Megan Roberts is safe and alive is increasingly remote. They're now focusing their investigation in the River Ouse and are now calling the possibility of Megan having entered the river as the strongest and most probable. Well, to stay up to date with all the developments on this story, don't forget you can follow us on Twitter. We're at URY News. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/URY News as well. We'll leave you though with your latest international news headlines with Claire Thomas.